Blog Talk Radio.
Real talk that speaks volumes to real people. Questions, answers, the real truth. Get ready, get ready, get ready for real talk. I'm your host, Tina Watkins. You're on with Real Talk That Speak Volume to Real People. Now, this show is not like no other show. We pray, we laugh, we joke, but we keep it real. Right. We tell it like a T-I-L and like a G-O-G-O.
Amen.
Well, we got some nice guests in the building, in the studio today. We have a hot topic today. And the topic is going to be Someone Touch Me, The Secret in My House. And before I begin, I'd like to say that I am your host today, Ms. Tina Watkins. Also, I'm a motivational speaker. I'm a life coach. And, you know, a lot of people don't know what a life coach is, but I do help a lot of women with a lot of issues, of deep embedded issues, dealing with relationships, you name it. Baby mama drama, daddy drama, you know, man problems, you know, spiritual problems, you know, they may need prayer, you know, we all need some prayer, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I just thank God for using me in that way. You know, sometimes you think that you have gifts to do something to make money, but a lot of times God uses you even in that.
Okay.
So, you know, I just thank him for using me. And also, he has anointed me and appointed me to write the book, Empower Yourself Successfully, The Gift on Bringing Out Greatness in Every Woman. And the reason why I've written this book is because a lot of people look at me, they don't see the evidence of me being raped twice or being homeless four times or being inches from losing my mind. But I thank God. Somebody say, but God.
But God.
God kept me. So, and I thank him for giving me the inspiration to write this book, because I know that a lot of women out there are hurting and going through situations that I've come out of. A lot of times when you go through something, it ain't for yourself, it's for somebody else.
Amen.
So when I read this book, Empower Yourself Successfully, I tell you, it took me almost 2.5 to 3 years, but I completed it. And it's God-inspired, the word is in it, and it really will help you come to a new level. And if you like to order that book, you can email me at empowersuccessfully7@gmail.com. Again, the email is empowersuccessfully7@gmail.com. Or if you would like to order it by mail, you can also send me a check or money order payable to Queen Touch a Blessing. Yes, Queen Touch of Blessing, and the amount of $17.95 only. $17.95. To the address, 274 East Oaks Road, number 204, Garland, Texas, 75043. I tell you, I'm excited today. This is a good topic, and not only that, it's a very sensitive topic, and I don't take it lightly, you know, when God gave me this topic to speak upon, because he got me in the house dealing with the situations in the house. And a lot of times people are texting me or calling me or Facebooking me or emailing me and asking me to, you know, could you talk on this subject? And I like those comments, and I like those, you know, input on what subjects you like me to hit on, because maybe God will open a window where I can start doing those shows. But right now he has me dealing with situations that are happening in the house. So, you know, the topic is someone touched me, the secret in my house. And when I first thought about this topic, when it came to me, you know, I don't know, it made me kind of want to cry inside because there are a lot of children are hurting in the home. And as a mother myself, you know, a lot of times we mothers, we have to really, you know, we love our children. We love them to the utmost. But sometimes, you know, we do get in the moment of, you know, working and hustle and bustle every day that we, you know, get out of the house and go do things every day. And it takes, you know, us taking a little bit more input to listen on what's going on or listen to our children or even watch our children because there's so much going on in this world and there's so much going on around us, but sometimes you can miss it in the midst of just working every day doing the same routine because there's something going on in that same routine, may not be a part of the routine. So I thank God for giving me this subject, the topic, and we're going to get on into it. And I like to start with prayer because, you know, prayer changes things, and I'm going to go ahead and start out with prayer because I love to pray because I've seen situations change with prayer. I've seen individuals become better people, you know, with prayer. I've seen households come together and husband and wife come together, you know, through prayer, you know, and I've seen chains and bondage be broken through prayer also. So I want to pray before we begin. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I come to you humbly, God, and I ask that you, Lord, I ask that you touch the listeners, God. I ask that you touch the guests, God. I ask that you go into the homes, God, and you see every situation, God, and I ask that you go in every crack, God, every hiding place, God, that the enemy would try to set his sights on our children, God. Lord, I ask that you pull out the cover, God. I ask that you reveal and open the eyes to the mothers, God, that they see, that they take an ear and listen, God, and see what the enemy, the trick that the enemy is trying to come up against our children's with, God. And that we become praying mothers, God. Lord, go back to the moaning women, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask that you protect the children, God. Protect the homes, God, of the children and the mothers and the fathers, God. Help us to stay together as a strong unit. Lord, I bind every spirit, God, that would hinder harm to bring destruction, disruption, and bondage and hurt and pain to the homes. I bind it up and I send it back to the pit of hell. But I loose in the name of Jesus, God, a blood covering, Lord, a protection, a shield. I even loose healing in the house, God. Healing in the house, God, for each and every person, God. Do it like we know that you can, God. We ask humbly, God, that you do it. And we touch and agree. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thank God because I tell you, when I pray, I feel something. I feel some breaking. I feel some things moving. I feel a change in the atmosphere. And I had to say that because I tell you, God is doing something with this topic on today. And I don't want to take it lightly, and it's a very sensitive topic. I'd like to introduce my guests. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. And we'll start with LaRonda.
My name is LaRonda Adams, and I'm so excited to be here on today.
Your name is what?
LaRonda Adams, and I'm excited to be here on today. Hi, and I'm Tasha, and I'm glad to be here today.
Well, I sure do appreciate it, and I'm glad y'all here on this Christmas Eve. I'm glad to have you in the studio today. Well, I mean, we're going to get into it, and what we're talking about is someone touched me, the secret in my house. And when I thought about the subject, it brought me to an inappropriate touching. We're talking about incest. Incest is meaning that in the house, there's a sexual encounters between closely related persons or people. Now, what we're getting into is we're talking about things that happen to children, young adults. It's happening. It's happening right up beneath our nose. You know, it's swept up under the rug. It's kept hush-hush. Family secrets. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
That's what's really going on in the house.
Amen.
And, you know, these family secrets are becoming, not just becoming, it is a generational curse.
Is.
Do y'all agree with that?
I agree.
It's a generational curse because a lot of times people don't understand that it started way before a child was touched at that certain moment. That means that that person that touched that child was a child before and maybe was touched.
Yes, ma'am.
Or even on a spiritual level, that person may be dealing with lust. And not only that, perversion.
Amen.
We're talking about these are spirits, y'all.
Yes,
and they real, and they do reach out and touch somebody.
Yes, they
and they break homes. They destroy families. You know, and when I thought about this, this is some real, real foul stuff. That the enemy comes into a house and tears it up, destroys it, destroys a child's life from the time that the inappropriate touch has begun.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't want to, you know, when I talk about this, I can feel some pulling on me, but I really want us to get right on into it, and I'm going to say some things that. When I thought about this subject also, it deals with, you know, an immoral act.
Yeah.
And when I thought about the immoral act, something that is done that violates trust.
Yeah.
Also, uncleanliness. It's unclean, and it's dirty, and it's unclean to the person that's committing the act. Not the person that is done to, the one that's committing the act. Dishonorable. It's a dishonorable act because the person that's doing it, somebody that's a loved one, someone in the family that you're supposed to trust, that they're supposed to love on you and care for you and treat you and protect you, but instead they're harming and dishonoring you by doing what they're doing. And then also, it's a hurtful thing. It hurts. It hurts the person that is being done to it. And then when other people get involved, it hurts them. So it's a domino effect. So it hurts the whole family. The victim, you know, don't even know the act. It, you know, and I won't say the victim because that sounds too sweet. I mean, you know, I mean, it sounds too, I mean, the victim or the person that's doing the victimizing is what I'm saying. That sounds too sweet, victimized. The one, the predator.
Yeah.
You know, a monster. Because evidently, something is definitely wrong there, you know, on the inside. Because, you know, if it was shown on the outside, then a person will react to that. But when you don't see it, it's coming to you with a smile. It's coming to you with a kind voice. It's coming to you with some, as a kid, some candy or some money. You know, baby, you want some money? You know, and kids, they run to that. They don't see the harm in it. They don't know that there was there's a predator on the inside. But I want to go on and say that this happens with uncles, cousins, aunts, close friends of the family. Come on now, play uncles, play aunties, you know, play cousins. That's what it happens. Big brothers, big sisters, you know, own sister, own brother. I mean, come on now. I want to hit every rim of it because it needs to be it needs to be showed up, and the cover needs to be pulled off because this enemy is destroying family secretly, and it's hurting us by keeping it a secret. Well, I'm going to go on in and allow the guests to tell their story because I tell you I really don't take it lightly, and I do thank you for sharing the story, and I know it's not an easy thing to share, and I like to just go ahead and get it out there. So, Miss Tasha.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I know this is a very sensitive, you know, question, but I want you to tell your story.
Okay. Well, this happened to me at a young age.
okay? I went through a lot in my household. You know, we all have the stepfather and the mother role in our household. You know, go through fights and arguments. We have to go through seeing it and hearing it and all, you know. And it was a particular day and time, you know, we had a big two-story house.
Okay.
Two-story house. And the upstairs would be my mama's them room.
The mama's room.
And they kept it locked. And when they be up in there, and when they got that upstairs locked, the downstairs would be the whole other thing going on.
Right.
So by this time, all the other sisters and brothers of mine, they was out doing their own thing. And I was a younger one. I was at home, and I didn't want to go out and do what they was doing. So I stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would stay in my room all the time. And we had other siblings that stayed there, you know, that moved in a little bit later. There was our stepbrothers and sisters, you know.
Mm-hmm. And so this was a mixed family?
Yes, yes, it was. My mother's boyfriend's children, they moved in
okay. By
this time. But they was out and about having that time, good time out, you know. And I was at home, you know. I laid down, turned the light out and closed my door. I didn't have anything to do, but, you know, at that time, so I just laid down.
Okay.
And
so, I mean, you saying that you just, you know, would be just chilling or just being quiet in the house and just had a peaceful state.
Right. Things wasn't like it is today. It's moving fast now, but then it didn't move so fast. But what I'm saying is I was laid there not knowing someone had came into the house.
Mm.
You know.
But were you asleep?
I wasn't always asleep.
Okay.
No, I wasn't always asleep. But I do know I was going through at the time. During the time I was quiet, didn't talk to nobody much.
Kind of introverted to yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
Try to deal with what was going on in the house.
Yeah, I had a lot of problems going on. I closed myself out from everybody. Didn't tell anybody my feelings, anything that I've been going through, or even the problems that were going on.
So how old were you at this time?
I was 15 and a half.
14?
15 and a half.
Okay,
15. I think 15. I was sleeping in a room, and we had a big house, so we called it a scary house. Because, you know, we see things sometimes and hear things. But I kept a knife in my door. I didn't have a lock, but I just kept a knife in the door just to be.
A knife?
Just to keep folks out the room.
Okay.
But I was laying there one night. And I heard the door. Somebody pull on the door, the doorknob.
Uh huh.
And they was just kind of pulling on it real slow, you know. And I just laid there.
Mhm.
And I heard the knife fall.
Mm. Wow.
And then I laid there, and all I know is somebody was creeping around on the floor. They was crawling.
Could you hear them?
Yes. And they made a little coughing noise as they was doing it, and I figured the voice out. And immediately I knew who it was. But during that time, they crawled around the bed, and they got in the bed, got behind me, you know. And I just laid there. I just laid there.
You know, a lot of times when something like that happens to you, you already know you're in danger. You already know something ain't right. You know something is creepy about this. So instead of move, everybody's reaction is not the same. So you go run. Your action may be screaming. You know, my action may be running and busting somebody up. You know, I'm gonna hit. You know, but your reaction may be just. You know, some people just freeze up. You know, so in your freezing up, you know what happened.
Well, I climbed in the bed and.
That's right.
He was touching on me and messing with my underwear and stuff. And I didn't do anything. I just laid there. I just didn't do nothing.
Well, what I want to say to you, Tasha, that this is nothing to be ashamed of. It ain't nothing to feel guilty of. Because I'm going to tell you what happens when something like this happens in your home and you kind of got an idea of who it is. And with all that was going on, and you said it was turmoil, some situations were going on, you were dealing with a lot, and you just laid there. Because, I mean, you know, I mean, that was just where you were going, where you were at right there at that moment. But I want to say to you, there's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing that you did wrong. You know, can't nobody say what I would have done or what they would have done, because it wasn't their story. It was your story. It happened to you. So can't nobody call it for you. Can't nobody call the shots for you. So, I mean, just, you know, I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about it. You know, it's a sad thing. It's really sad. Now, what happened out of that encounter? What did it reoccur?
Yeah, he did it a few times, and then I come daytime, I wanted to say something to somebody.
Who was it?
It was my stepbrother.
Your stepbrother.
My stepbrother.
Now, how old was he at the time?
I think he was like 18. About 18.
Oh, he know better.
18.
You know. I don't know if they're calling it that now, but that's statutory. We're past statutory, but that's incest in the house. You still brother and sister. Even though if it's a mixed family, and see, when you mix a family up, you really, as parents, should sit down and talk to the kids and say, you know, look, this your brother, this your sister. You know, don't be no hanky-panky up in here. Ain't nobody supposed to be touching nobody. This your sister. This your brother. Ain't no mixing up going on up in the house. Or it shouldn't happen. If I catch it happening, somebody going to get a whooping or a beat down or whatever you tell your children. But I'm saying that it shouldn't happen. And being that he was older, 18, you know, although you were going through some things, he should have knew better. So what happened after that?
He did it a few more times, and the same routine, I would get up the next morning, like same thing, want to tell somebody, and I just didn't. I just kept it to
myself.
You
afraid? Were you ashamed?
I wasn't afraid. I was embarrassed to myself, and I was getting more upset with myself.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna tell you this. It's a work of the enemy, because that's what he does. See, because you were the quiet one. Because I'm going to tell you about predators. They seek out weakness. And when they seek out weakness, they seek out the quietest child or the quietest kid or the one that they can probably intimidate or the one that they can maybe tell, I'm going to hurt you. And if you tell, this is going to happen. I'm going to kill your mama. I'm going to kill your daddy. I'm going to kill you. Because then you are already quiet. They know you submissive, and you gonna submit to what they said, so they gonna keep it going on because you ain't said nothing because you were scared. And then what happened? Shame got in there. Then what was it? You said you was, embarrassed.
I was embarrassed and I was mad at myself. And how it came to the open was I threw up one day in the bathroom.
I threw up.
Oh, Lord.
And then
what happened? They went on by, and I kept throwing up.
What?
And yeah, and my mother noticed, and she was like, "Is you sick?" And I said, "I think I'm throwing up blood."
Oh, my
but
God.
But it was Kool-Aid. But,
girl, I'm not going to fool with you. If you just drunk some Kool-Aid.
But still. On down the line, how I came to a halt was my mother found out that I was pregnant.
What now? What happened?
My oldest sister. she was like, I think she's pregnant, Mama. And then Mama and them knew I didn't have a boyfriend, and everybody knew I didn't have a boyfriend.
But you know what? Let me stop right there because this is real talk, right? Yes. Y'all, this is real talk.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to keep it real. Now, you know, on shows like this, people don't like to keep it real. But this is my baby sister, Tasha. And I'm the oldest sister she's talking about. So let's keep it real, you know, because one thing I ain't ashamed of nothing, and I want to keep it real because this is a Christmas Eve, and, you know, you don't want to pull people from there, but this has happened.
Yes.
And it happened in my family. And don't be out there saying, oh, it happened to your, it could be happening in yours right now.
Amen.
So you better check yourself and make sure that your children ain't going through something like this. So go on, Tasha.
And so when they found out, everybody found out I was pregnant, we all was in the living room, and it's like everybody sat down. It was my mama and my stepdaddy, which was his daddy.
Yeah, I don't even recall saying that you were pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And you was there, and everybody was asking me, who's the daddy? And I just started crying. I was crying real hard because I was just hurt and embarrassed for myself for letting it happen to me.
Right.
They're not saying nothing until waiting until the time to where I was pregnant. I wish I could have said something.
Well, let me tell you.
But I did.
I'm going to tell you something. In that, you know, it was a lot of puzzle going on in the family. It was a lot of puzzle. And when something like that happened, it mixed everybody's mind up. Why did she say something? Why did he do it? And, you know, hey, you know, you don't know who to blame. At that situation, we didn't know. But all I know, it was my baby sister. That's all I could see in my mind. This is my baby sister. This is going to happen to. So I had the anger inside, you know, and I kept it inside. And I just kind of stayed away from it all because you don't know what to do. You on one hand want to kill somebody, and on the other hand you want to love on that who it happened to. But then on the other hand you see, hey, why didn't you say something? But that's what the enemy does. He in bondage you. He placed you in bondage and made you feel that you were ashamed. It made you feel like embarrassed. See, that was the trick of it all. And then, because if you'd have told the first time and stopped him in his track, I don't know, his neck would have probably got broke or something. I'm just telling you, because you don't know what folks would do. It don't matter who you is. You just sexually done something to somebody, it shouldn't have happened. You older, it shouldn't have happened. And that's the way I felt. And I backed away from it because I didn't want to hurt nobody.
And can I say something? A lot of times, if you don't say something at the age you are now, at the time, the age of 15,
yes.
And if you don't say something, and they say, oh, you're old enough to open up your mouth and go say something, if you don't say nothing, then the enemy will make it look like, oh, well, you allowed it.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful of the enemy. And that's why at that age, at the adolescent age, a child at that age should be able to speak and open up their mouth, talk to their mom, their dad, or no matter what. Because who's to say that this person has a disease or what are they doing, you know, just
but
bringing harm to your body?
In that time and era, parents weren't even talking to their kids.
Yes.
Because, see, a lot of parents, mothers, don't want to talk to their girls about sex.
I'm not talking about you, though.
I'm just saying, they don't want to talk to their kids about sex.
Mm-hmm.
They using, oh, it was putting a cabbage patch or, you know, girl, keep your legs closed and your drawers up.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. Keep your dress down and your drawers up.
Uh-huh.
That's all we heard.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't telling you, girl, be mindful, don't let no boy touch you and enter you sexually, because if you do, you're going to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure if you'd have heard that, you'd have said, you know, you'd try to, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying, with all that was going on, it was a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, it was total tear up, tore up, destroyed. I mean, it was just total chaos.
It was a mess because everybody.
The police got into it, didn't
they? We got in a circle, and they asked me who it was, who the dad was, and I told them who messed with me, and everybody got quiet. And then all of a sudden,
it felt like it was on you.
Uh-huh. I didn't think, they still didn't believe me. I didn't think nobody believed me.
You didn't think
because
nobody believed you?
His dad was like, no, that boy didn't mess with her. I mean, he was saying stuff like that.
Because he was trying to protect him.
Yes.
But, you know, I think the investigators or police, because, see, at this time, when something like this happens, you still got to get the law in it.
Yes.
You still got to get the law in it because, see, a lot of times, this is where families go wrong. They be like, well, my child didn't do that. Or, oh, no, my
boyfriend didn't do. He didn't do that to you. You made him do it, or you laid there. You was in on it, or you seduced him, or you showed him, or you know what I'm saying? You were negative in front of him. No, the devil is a lie. That a perversion spirit don't have no respect to person. A person with lust don't have no respect to person. A person that's a predator, he don't care. As long as he get his rocks off and get his feel good on, and he got his, now he's trying to protect himself. Now, what did he say in all of this?
Well, we went to the police. Okay.
Because I know I wasn't there when the police got into it. They kept all that. Everything was so hushed.
Me, you, and my real daddy, we went to the police
station. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah,
that's
what
happened. We went to the police station. Me, you, and
okay,
my
because
daddy.
When it got on the other family side, then it was some killing wanting to happen. Now I recall. Because my daddy wanted to shoot somebody's brains out. And everybody was trying to say, oh, wait a minute. Let's don't let it get out of hand like that, you know. Because sometimes people want to take the law in their own hands. And if you notice here, a couple of months back, a woman did beat a man with a bat to the point of no return. Because when it comes down to your child, you don't know how you're going to act. So I encourage every mother to listen to this and take notice. Because when you begin to be mixing up your family with another family that you don't really, you know, you never live together, then it needs to be a series of family meetings going on. Do y'all agree with me?
I agree.
That you may be able to talk to the kids and see where they mind at, see where they head at, let them know what you stand for, what rules are in this house, and what you're going to do to stand by the rules, and if the rules will be broken, what's going to happen? You know, because if you would have put a stop to it and say, well, he touched me, whatever it may be, he probably would have got kicked out right then and there.
Yeah. During the time we was talking about it, he had walked in the door. And then they asked him about it, and he walked back out the door. And then that's when he started not coming home no more. And my son started growing bigger and bigger each day.
Well, you were pregnant.
And then... And then I was going to school and it got a rumor went around. The whole school knew about it, so I was humiliated. I went through life, you know, a high school, but everybody in the whole school knew about it. Now I transferred to a new school, and everybody at that school knew about it.
My God.
I was humiliated.
But see, I never did know all that. But you know, I'm going to tell you, when something like this happens, it destroys and it causes bondage. You know, it causes spiritual bondage. And I want to say to you, Tasha, that I never had an opportunity to say, and I don't care if it was on air or not, but, you know, I never heard you tell it like this. And, you know, a lot of times when there's a situation going on, a lot of things are not said that could have been said, but at the time what you're going through, you can't say it because you just don't know what to think. But I want to say, you know, I didn't know you was going through all of that. I really didn't. And really, to be honest with you, I didn't want to be a part of it because I was trying to protect my own self. And I've asked you to forgive me for that. But I just want that this show, you know, I want somebody to be helped out of it. But most of all, you as my baby sister, I want you to be helped. I want you to understand that all that the enemy has said against you, it may have meant, may it seem like it was meant for your bad, but God going to turn it around for your good because you're helping somebody. You're telling your story. Because a lot of times when you don't tell it and you keep it in, you can't get your breakthrough. You can't get delivered. You can't get set free. You can't smile again. I want to tell you that you can smile, baby. You can smile because you went through something. And it's your story. Everybody got a story. So when people praising God in church and shouting and acting and falling all out, you don't know their story.
Amen.
See, I thought I knew your story. I didn't know your story. I didn't know you went through all of that. Because I got out. I think I moved out, at 16? But a lot of things I didn't know, you know. But I'm here to tell you that you have nothing to be ashamed of. You're beautiful from the inside out. And you stood on what you know.
when you came up, got up a little older, you stood up for yourself, and you got a beautiful family, and God is really blessing you. It don't matter what it looked like, you're blessed, because you didn't lose your mind, because this is the kind of thing that make people lose their mind.
And I made it my business the baby that came out of this, as soon as he got of age, I told him the whole story.
Wow.
Matter of fact, I told all my kids all the story at a young age, and still today they know exactly what happened. They know exactly what happened.
Well, see, that's the thing about keeping secrets. That's what destroys. That's what hurts. Because when you keep a secret and keep your mouth shut, then that can happen to your children, their children. You see how the cycle goes? You see how the generational curse goes? It goes on and on and on and on.
That's why I told them so it won't have to happen to
with their children.
Right. And to them. And still today, they know exactly what happened. And they not one day they don't think about it and know about the curse of this world or what's going on out there and how to protect their children now. To check your children. Check them. I don't care when they're underwear. Check them, their tails. Check all of them. Just make sure nobody messes with them. That's what I did growing up. Checked all my kids almost every night to make sure nobody wasn't messing with them.
Well, you know, I know there was another situation that happened with one of your children. And I'm telling you, boy, this is a very sensitive subject, y'all. And bear with me because, you know, when you're talking about something like this, this ain't nothing to play with. Because the devil means to take you out. Any means necessary. Because when you're destroying life like that and you touch it, you're going from a child, you know, and then that child holds that burden up into an adulthood. Just think about all that stuff going on up in the mind. That's what messes people up. That's why you got folks drinking, alcoholics. That's why you got folks out there on crack.
Prostitution, looking for love in the wrong places.
You're right. So I know there was a situation happened with one of your daughters, and this was child on child. See, people don't think this stuff happened. When you send your kids in another room with some old kids bigger than them or older than them, or when you leave them with an older child saying they're the babysitter, just know, take notes, this can happen.
What happened was later on in life I got married.
Right.
I had gotten married, and my oldest daughter, she was 4 years old.
4 years old.
It wasn't his daughter. It was by someone else. It wasn't by my husband.
He was his son, though, by maybe somebody
no.
else. It was a stepson of his?
No. Oceanae was.
Okay.
I mean, my daughter. My daughter.
Right.
Was not my husband's daughter.
Okay.
But he had a son that was 14.
From another woman.
From another woman. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I just asked him, you know, I was like, let's go pick your son up. You know, to spend time with him.
Right.
You know, I was looking out for his child.
His best interest, yeah.
And so we went and picked him up and, you know, let him play with the other siblings and get around the other sibling. And he ended up spending the night.
Right. Okay.
You know, we both had jobs. Me and his daddy had jobs. So he was 14 and our children were like four and five.
Right.
At the time. And we told him, okay, well, we're going to let you spend the night.
Oh.
And, well, we got to go to work in the morning, so we're going to have you watch them until we get off of work.
Lord, so he, what, 14?
He was 14.
Watching the
four and five-year-old.
4 and 5-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And this was a girl and a boy that he was watching.
Yeah, he was watching.
But he's a 14-year-old.
He's a 14-year-old. And I went to work that next morning, you know, and as I worked throughout that morning, something was bothering me. Something was just telling me, go home and check on your kids.
Go home and check on your kids. Hold it right there. Because, see, I'm going to tell you why I say hold it right there. Because, see, a lot of women don't pay attention to that, too. God be saying something to you. Go check in the room. Or in the middle of the night, go look in on them. In the middle of the night. Or even when you're sitting around your kids, baby, is it something you want to tell mama? Or is it something that, you know, that mom, a secret that you,
you know, you want to tell mama, or do you want to talk to mama, something. You know, not just go fix dinner, or y'all clean up this house. I mean, I know, because I've been there. I'm a mother.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it takes sitting down, baby, let's talk. Mm-hmm. Can you want to tell me something? But go on, you said you heard.
I'm just, y'all heard the voice, I didn't know then it was God. At that time, I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know. I didn't come to knowledge until
it was God.
It was God telling me to go home and check on your kids.
Wow.
And I had to be God because I wasn't even supposed to leave work. I wasn't supposed to leave my shift. I didn't have enough. I was a manager.
Right.
So I did what the voice told me to.
Uh-huh.
I went home. I unlocked that door.
Yeah.
And I just seen this boy, the 14-year-old, just he ran to the couch and covered his whole body up with a sheet.
What?
And that let me know something was going on.
Oh, my God.
So I looked at him, but my body was walking towards the bedroom where I know my kids normally be.
Yeah, yeah.
Went in there, I saw the five-year-old who was asleep, and the four-year-old, I didn't see her. I went looking for her. She on the toilet.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Butt naked. Arms hanging on the side of her legs like she'd been running a marathon.
Oh, my God.
I said, I called her name out, and I said, what's the matter? And she just said, I said, what is the matter? And her little boy said, he stuck his drawers in my panties. And when she said that, I just picked her up off the toilet and took her in the room. Lord.
Oh,
I took her in the room.
Please forgive me.
I took her in the room.
You said he said.
Yeah, he took her in the room.
Stuck his drawers in her pants.
That's what she said. She said that, and then I took her in the room.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And then I knew immediately something had happened.
God.
I knew immediately something had happened.
Mm.
So. I went to the dirty clothes.
Wait a minute.
I went to the dirty clothes hamper. I just started digging.
So he threw his underwear?
No.
Oh, God.
She just
tossed her underwear.
She was on the toilet with her underwear just back to her ankle.
To her ankle.
And her arms was hanging on the side of her. And I said, what's wrong? And she told me Byron stuck his drawers in her panties. And immediately I panicked. I picked her up off the toilet. And I took her in the room, and I laid her on that bed, and I just started running in dirty clothes. I know I always have clothes
but
on
you couldn't
my
find his draw, but you...
Her clothes I was looking for in the dirty clothes
uh-huh.
that I had on her that night I put
that,
on her.
Uh-huh.
And I dug in the dirty clothes
to find
and I found bloody clothes.
Oh. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Ah!
So
oh,
I went in the room, and I grabbed a phone. And I just start dialing numbers of people in their family. Somebody, you know,
oh, God.
Let them know what had happened. And I called the boy's mama. And I said, ma'am, I didn't know her too good. I didn't know her. I said, ma'am, your son just molested my daughter.
Oh, my God. Gosh.
And the first thing, all she said to me was, I'm cooking.
What?
She said, I'm cooking.
Wait a minute. Wait, right there. You said all she said that she was cooking.
Yeah.
And don't she got a daughter that living with her too?
She had a
So wait a minute now. Now see, this is where it become real sick. Because a woman's tuition, when you another woman tell you something don't happen as bad as this, all she can say is she was cooking.
Yeah. And
She didn't react up.
No. She didn't react. But when I called his daddy, I said, your son just been listening to my daughter. You need to get on to this house. And then when he got home, I said, you need to take me over his mom's house.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to, because it's her son. I want, you know.
Yeah, everybody get together.
But then he's laughing because he's
no.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
So we went over there. I just barged in their house. I just barged in. Because
well,
I was
angry,
so mad about how his mama
reacted.
Yeah. So when I got there and I was telling her again, then her boyfriend that was there, he promotion than
she
than her or his dad. Hey,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, see, somebody knew something. Now, wait a minute.
No.
Wait a minute. Because you know why? If she didn't have no reaction to something that happened to your child about going to molestation, evidently somebody else has been kept secret, already been kept, and they already knew. Mm-hmm. Somebody knew that that was a reaction of what he has been doing or has gotten caught doing before. But they just didn't say it. See, that's why I said secret destroys and hurts. Because if she would have said, well, you know, he could come over there, but he got to come right back, or whatever his name was, he's known for touching little girls, so you may need to watch him. Somebody should have said something. So then after that, what did you do?
Matter of fact, before I left that house, we called, don't let me forget that. I called the police, too. I called them first.
Right.
I did. And then I went, that woman over there, and I bought it in their house. I was upset at her for the reaction she did.
Right.
I'm keeping your child over here, trying
right.
to help him help
right.
See his dad, and I'm trying to be a stepmama to get to know the boy.
Right.
You know, I liked that boy. I did everything to that little boy.
I know it.
For him to do that to me. And then got the police involved with it and all. We went to the hospital, and they checked her, and they said, yeah, she had a cycle. He made her have a cycle.
Oh,
so
God.
I cut up in the hospital a little bit, and I look around, and he in the waiting room, and they're laughing at something on the TV. Mm-hmm.
The little boy?
The 14-year-old boy. He wasn't a little boy. He was 14. That made me more mad.
Oh, my God.
So the hospital told CPS about it.
Yeah.
And the CPS, they were so nice to me. They were so nice to my daughter. They brought stuff to the house. They felt so sorry for
what
had happened. To get downtown, and when those folks were talking to me and talking to my daughter, you wouldn't believe what happened.
What happened?
Through what they told her, through what she told them, my little four-year-old told them that the following day, I wasn't nowhere around. The following day, the daddy called him, messed with my daughter, and then he didn't even tell me.
Shut up.
Yeah.
The daddy called him and didn't tell you?
Yeah. So in other words, I called him the next day.
Oh,
I'm just saying,
my God.
I didn't know that had happened.
God.
He
oh,
did
my God.
That. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then he didn't tell me.
Oh, my Lord Jesus.
He didn't tell me. He called his son messing with my daughter the day before I called him messing with him. So, 2 weeks later came, somebody shot that boy in the head. I don't know who shot that boy. Somebody shot that boy dead.
Somebody shot him dead?
Don't nobody know who did it to this day. Who going to shoot a 14-year-old boy? I don't know who did it. Somebody did. After that boy did, this incident happened. Somebody shot that boy.
I'm going to tell you something. God ain't playing. He ain't playing. I'm going to tell you. Because, see, it's too much. You know, that happened right there. And this is going on in houses all over the world. And say, ain't nobody pulling the coat off of it. Everybody wanted to hush. Everybody. And you said a daddy saw it. Why didn't he say something? Why didn't he stop it? Why didn't he take the boy back home? Why didn't he, respond in the right reaction?
I don't know why he didn't do it, but I do know what I did. I left and got out that house and got myself around him and the family and everybody else and started a new. I started a new life.
That's all right. I commend you on that. Because you know why? The thing about it is, this is going on and people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it because they scared of being embarrassed. They scared of being shamed, you know. And I'm going to speak across. Lightly about the young boy being killed because I don't come out.
Right,
you know,
I still love him. I love him. I forgive him. I forgave him even then. I forgave him. I really did. And today, I just hope that he's in a better place. I love him. I love everybody.
Right.
I just wish this don't happen to nobody else. I encourage folks to watch your kids. Make sure you got the right people watching them.
That's right. Because when your kids say, I don't want to be here, I don't want to stay, Mama, please, don't leave me, they telling you something.
They is telling you something is going on. When you leave them, it ain't about, oh, I'm missing my mama, my mama gone to work or whatever it may be. Because I can remember a babysitter I left my daughter with, and she said, mama, he touched my vagina. That's all it took. He touched my vagina, and the same thing. The mama had a reaction like that because she knew her son was a little molester.
And not only that, my son is 5 years old. They was asleep.
Oh,
let me back up. I found out that when this was going on, he put a bag over his head, was beating him. Like, put a bag over my son.
That's demonic.
Beating him in the head, in the face. And I didn't even know that.
See, we don't know who we're leaving our kids with. That's why
I
say,
never want
be mine.
My baby.
Be
never.
I know it. But I'm just telling you, I tell you, my spirit really just stirred up, y'all. It stirred up. I ain't never heard nothing like this. And I'm telling you, I ain't never heard this story told like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And see, that's what I'm saying. Even I'm family, and I still ain't heard it like this. You see what I'm saying? How things keep so hush and keep covering it up. But I tell you, I ain't speaking lightly about the man, the young boy being dead. But I tell you, God is tired of this man hurting his kids, hurting these babies. They don't know no better. And we grown people want to go party, want to go hang out with the girls or the homeboys, and got your kids over here and with somebody that you don't know who they with. You know what I'm saying? You don't know.
Exactly.
Like a lot of times you leave your kids maybe with the dad, you know, or with the uncle. Check this out. Check out the reaction. You can tell when another man is looking at your child in a sexual way. You know how a man look at another woman's butt. You know how a man look at another woman with looking through her clothes. Come on now. Let's keep it real.
Amen.
Y'all know a woman know when a man is looking at her with a lustful look.
Yes.
Well, men got that same look when they looking at a child. But that was child on child. You didn't even see it coming. But I thank God for you sharing it. I thank God for you getting it out, because I can see the release. I can see the release in you. I can see that you released it all. And that's what God wants. And I tell you, this is sensitive. I'll tell you, this is, oh, my God. I didn't expect this to come out. But you know what? It needs to come out. It had to come out. There ain't no way that it shouldn't, because I thank God for what you're doing, because you're helping somebody.
Amen.
Somebody better listen. Somebody better not pay attention. Pay attention. You see what I'm saying? Because, I mean, it's going on. Now, Ms. Rwanda, I know you got a story, and I said, Lord, I may need to go get me a Coke. That's the strongest thing I can drink. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Ooh, Ms. Tasha, I think I take a sip of water on that one. All right, Ms. LaRonda, what's your story?
Well, my story started at the age of 6 years old. My story started at the age of six. And at the age of six, I was staying in my grandmother's house. My grandmother raised me. And we had cousins that used to come over at all times. And this particular cousin was an older cousin. He was more...
How old were you?
I was six, starting off at the age of six. Because I wasn't in school, so that's how I know.
Okay.
And at starting out, he was my grandmother's favorite.
Really?
Yes, he was my grandmother's favorite, then the brother, and, you know, and all them. And I remember times when my big mom used to keep us. She was an older woman or whatever, and she was just keeping me and my twin brother. And at the time when it started out with that, when he used to be at the house, well, his name is Jeffrey. When he used to be at the house, he would have me to go into the bathroom. And at the time I was going to the bathroom, he would have me to sit on the ledge of the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
And as I sit on the ledge of the bathtub, the first thing I have ever experienced was oral sex as a kid at the age of six. I didn't know anything about it, but just knowing that a grown man putting his penis in your mouth.
So wait a minute, he was a grown man?
He was a grown man.
How old
I was at the age of six. He had to be in his 20s. He was way older than I was.
Oh, my God.
And at that time, I remember hearing my big mom, which was my great-great-grandmother that was keeping us at the time. She would say, LaRonda, you know, my name is LaRonda, but she would call my name.
And at the time, I couldn't say nothing. It's because he had me in the bathroom with the door closed. And she would call my name, wondering where I was at. You know, I would be in trouble because you heard me calling her name and you didn't say anything.
Oh, my God.
And so at the time.
But this was happening while she in the house.
She was in the house. And at that time, she was in the house. She was cooking. And my twin brother, you know, neither one of us started school at the time. And he was in there looking at TV. And I was, you know, he had me in the bathroom. And by her calling my name out and hearing her keep calling my name out, so finally, as he did what he did, he let me go on out because at the time he heard her coming and her voice was getting close. And I got in trouble because then you hear me calling your name. Why didn't you answer?
Oh, my God.
So wasn't nothing I can say because if I would have said something, I would have been in trouble, and it's like you better not say nothing.
That's what he was
and,
saying?
Yes, and that was the second to the oldest.
The second to the oldest cousin?
Cousin, yes. And he had a brother which was older than him, which name was Dan. He gone.
Wait a minute
now.
This is a 20-some-year-old
mm-hmm.
sticking his
yes.
his private in your mouth.
Yes.
And he got an older brother.
Brother.
Oh, God.
Which has probably been in his 30s or his upper 20s at the time. And at the time, he was also a grown man that would, you know, fondle with me. He would come to my grandmother's house all the time. And
you
know,
fondle with you?
Yes. And my grandmother was the favorite. He was my grandmother's favorite. Nephew. He was the favorite of all of them.
Mm.
And he would constantly always come over there. They would come over there. They would spend the night. When my auntie and his grandfather, which was my husband's, which was my, not my husband, but my grandmother's husband,
uh-huh.
he was a truck driver, and he would always go out of town. So she would invite them to come over and spend the night so it can be a man in the house. And all the time they would come over, you know, just to fix some things or just to do things or whatever, he would always tell me to go in. It was a back room that we had, and that back room was a bed,
mm-hmm.
which was my brother-in-law room. And he would always tell me, go in that back room, go lay down, take your clothes off, and get up under the cover. So at the time, me at a young
now,
age.
Now, this is a 30-some-year-old?
Yeah, this is a 30-some-year-old. And I would go get up under the cover and do what he tell me to do, and I'd be back there. You know, he would actually take his thing out. He would get on top of me. He would tell me to touch
Wait a minute. The 30-year-old getting... Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. He would stick his finger in me. And, you know, it was a lot more other stuff. And at that time, I mean, I was fearful. It made me feel uncomfortable.
You
I didn't
feel sick?
Well, I was a little bit older then. I probably had done so at school by then.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, it made me feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Because I had to see this face all the time. And at the time, if we made bad grades or we was in trouble, we got in trouble, instead of my grandmother saying, I'm going to whoop y'all, she would tell him, when Dan come over here, I'm going to have him to whoop y'all.
Oh, my God.
So just imagine me getting whoopings by this man all the time and then still being fondled, still being molested by him. So, I mean, this thing, it messed with your mind.
Yeah.
You know, you got this man having, you know, trying to have intercourse, you know, taking away... I don't know what to say. He invaded me.
Yeah.
And at that time, then on the other hand, you're getting a whooping. So what's really going on?
Right.
So, you know, at that time I went through a lot, and I felt it was fear, you know, and I did feel fear. I felt uncomfortable.
So I want to say, LaRonda, I'm telling you, it's really tough. I like to say that, you know, this subject is brought out to help somebody,
uh-huh.
to impact somebody's household, to let them know that this is what's really going on. But I like to pray before we get off, and I like to thank you all for coming on. Uh-huh. Let me hold hands with you all. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask that you break every generational curse, God. Lord, I bind every demon that would hinder harm or come up against your family, any family that's listening and taking an ear to this show, God. I ask that you go in, God. Lord, I ask that you pull the cover off, God. Reveal, God. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you protect the children, God. Place your blood covering over them, God. Open the eyes of the mothers and the fathers, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, change the hearts of the predators, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I ask that you, Lord, I ask that you just cleanse, God. Wash
In the name of Jesus, I thank you and I bless you and I magnify you for it. God, already being done. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. And this has been a great show. And I hope that you listen next Monday. And we have a hot topic on battered women. So I thank you all for coming. And this was wonderful.
Thank you for sharing.